from MLU headquarters in Philadelphia. This is Cleats and Cuffy. Everything ultimate, from the field to the border.
Hello, Mr. Graham.
Hello, welcome back. Another episode of Cleats and Cufflinks, episode 27. I'm here today. I have Will Smolinski, head coach of the DC Current, in the studio here in Philadelphia, in town for Thanksgiving with his family. So you can tell we're recording this a little bit ahead of time. But nice to have Will here. I'm going to do a couple of little moments of news for the folks. One thing is, this week, you probably have already read it because you pay such close attention to what we do, but we have announced our schedule. And, you know, to give everybody a little bit of an overview, we're going to be doing an early start this year, starting on the 9th of April for our first weekend of games. You know, if you're down in, I guess, what do we have here? I mean, I could take a look. We're going to have, DC is going to have a home game. So you guys are excited for that, I would imagine.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Getting us started. The Stags will have a home game. San Francisco will have a home game. New York will have a home game. And Philadelphia will have a home game. It's going to be a packed opening weekend. And then the season this year, a little bit more compact than last year. We're running running just through July. So we'll do the championship game will be in July on the weekend of the 16th and 17th. So mark your calendars for that. We'll have an announcement of where that's going to be coming up soon. So we haven't quite finalized that. The other thing I want to remind everybody of is we're still in our interview process for our social media coordinator. This is the new position that we have available. So if you are into the tweeting or the Facebooking or the gramming instantly, you can, you know, and you think you want to do that professionally, we actually have a great opportunity. It's a full-time job, hoping for someone here in Philadelphia would like someone to come into the office every day. But if you're not in Philly and you still want to apply, we are definitely open to getting someone who's a real pro, even if they have to work remotely. So you can send an email, the resume and cover letter to work@mlultimate.com, and we're going to be going through that interview process over the next few weeks. So our hope is to have somebody coming in starting beginning of the new year. But anyway, so that's all I have for news for the moment. So let's get into our conversation here. First of all, thank you very much for coming in.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. It's a great space. I can't like walking in. It's awesome. You know, like there's inventory around and stuff, but like this is legitimate. Like, it's a great space.
It's a serious office. I think a lot of people don't realize that. No. We're in 3,300 square feet of space here.
Yeah.
And sitting in now our nice little studio, which I think on the camera looks a little more cramped, but is actually pretty spacious.
Yeah, it is.
So you're in town for the family and the in-laws for Thanksgiving?
Yep. My in-laws live in Center City, Philadelphia, for those of you that are familiar with the area. So it's great. Nice little walk over here to the office, and it's good.
Lovely. So head coach of the DC Current, and now a little bit different now, the official, like, single only head coach of the DC Current. For the past few years, you've been working with Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Molnauer, and Kevin has decided to play this year. So you're taking
again.
Actually, he played the first year. I keep forgetting that. He hates that I forget that. But I do keep forgetting it. So he's decided to play again, and so you're taking on this responsibility. You know, tell us a little bit about that decision process, and also, you know, who else are you bringing in to help kind of fill out your team there?
So Kevin leaving his... At first, when he like stopped playing, I think that was tough for him, because he, you know, he can play, he can still play. Anyone that watched Chuck play at all this year saw him play, but he still got it. And I think that initially him leaving to the pro game to coach was tough for him. You know, our conversation after last season, one of the things he brought up was, I want to play while I still can. So, you know, it's a great decision for him, and we know that he can be a role player on our team. If you watch Kevin play, you'll see that he can still shut down guys on defense. You can still that he's not going to turn over the disc on offense. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes.
A physical player. You know, I played with him in 05. Mm-hmm. He played on Pike with me. Mm-hmm. And we used to match up a lot, O and D line. And, physical to the point of... brutality sometimes.
That's a running joke for guys that, you know, when they cover him in practice or he's covering them, is it like, you got to wear your shoulder pads?
Yeah, you're getting bruised, which I always loved. That was my style of play. I like a guy you can bang around with a little bit. It's fun. So he's moving over there, and you're taking the head coach role officially. Who are you bringing in? Who's coming in to help you out?
We're really excited. We brought in two assistant coaches. They're actually coordinators, what we're calling them. Sam McClellan and Jacob Nuxall, who both coached a women's team out of D.C. called Grit this year. Their strengths really being player development and like seeing talent and skills that other people might overlook. I'm really excited. I've worked parallel with Jacob for years. He works at my camp with me. He's a counselor at the camp that I run. And I just met Sam this year, and I'm really excited about her. Her playing resume is top notch. You know, like she's done it all. Worlds, national championships. She is solid.
Fantastic. And that actually brings me to another question. So, well, first of all, coordinators, are these like offensive and defensive coordinators? Yep. So you're going to split them between the two. Yep. Do you know who's doing what yet?
Sam's going to be running the offense.
Okay.
And Jacob will be running the defense.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
That's a good team you have put together. Yeah. And you said that Jacob worked as a counselor in your camp.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about that. You have an ultimate camp that you've been running for how many years now?
7 years now. So the first couple years, just like any other business, you know, not really making any money.
Yeah,
just something
happens.
That we do out of fun. And, you know, my business partner, Dave Souls, who I've been working with in the youth scene with for over a decade now, started this camp as a way to help our high school programs out and be like, if we can get kids throwing sooner, then we're on the first day of practice, we're not teaching kids how to throw a flick. We're teaching theory and like how to cut on time, things like that. And it's really just taken off. You know, the last 2 years, we've really expanded. We're actually looking to like franchise out and find other people to run Capital Ultimate Camps at separate locations.
Wow.
Just because we have such a demand for these Frisbee programs. And there's really, you know, there's big ones like Nutsy, Nike Ultimate Camps, you know, Spin does a camp, I believe. But really, in our area, we're the only game in town. And there's like people in D.C. don't want to travel to Virginia. People in Virginia don't want to travel to Maryland. So like just really finding a way to get our services to people who want it.
So how many kids are you dealing with? Like, what kind of time frame are you working on? Like, how much time are you putting?
So the day camps are a week each.
Okay.
And those are really geared towards middle school kids. Cool. In Arlington, we do about 100 kids per week, and that's 2 weeks.
Wow.
And then we did Maryland this year, and we had, I think, about 25 out for that camp for a week. And then we also did a sleepaway camp, which was huge this year. Our first couple years, we only had about 20 kids out.
Yep.
And this year, I think we had 40.
Wow.
Double their numbers.
So that's the sleepaway, and is that a week?
A full week, yep. And that's geared towards high school kids.
All right, that's very cool. And you're looking now to see if you can branch this out even further. Like, this is from a business perspective, and we're always really interested in this, particularly on Cleats and Cufflinks. This is the Cufflinks side of the discussion. Yeah. This is the boardroom. As a business, you're seeing that that this has viability. Again, running businesses around Ultimate, starting to build up the kind of economy of Ultimate is always something that interests us. So you're seeing that in the long run, that not only is the camp viable for you guys to pay your counselors, pay yourselves, give the kids a good experience across the board. Like, this is the point you're at now.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the place the pro leagues have in this is that like it makes the sport visible and kids are like, this is something that I could actually enjoy doing and still be active. You know, for years as a youth coach, we would talk about we were taking kids that were non-traditional athletes that like sports but didn't start playing soccer at the age of three, so we're already not going to make the high school soccer team.
Right.
And kind of like building up these kind of kids that had athleticism or had game skills but just didn't have the background. And what's happening now is we're starting to see is like not only are there more of those out there than we thought there were, but also like there's some kids that are playing soccer that are tired of soccer.
Yeah.
And Ultimate is a viable competitive sport. For years as a PE teacher in the locker room, I've been listening to the debate of like, is Ultimate a sport? Is Ultimate not a sport? And, you know, I never interject my opinions. I just kind of like play devil's advocate on both sides. And recently, it has been really eye-opening to see kids that before were like, it doesn't take any skill. There's no athleticism that, like, when they go to Comcast Sports Network and they're like, I saw you on TV, Mr. Smo. That guy with that run in the end zone, and they're like trying to explain what they saw, what happened, but like, wow. And like, that's feeding into our camp. And like, outside of like that being good for the business side, it's just great to see that we're providing service and exercise opportunities for kids that want it.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I think we're seeing the opportunities open up more and more too. Something we talk about a lot, you know, sports are under a microscope in a lot of ways.
Yep.
Football is suffering from that at the youth level. Mm-hmm. Soccer just instituted new rules about headers. Yep. Because of the concussion concerns. Ultimate, you know, we've surveyed 3 years of this now, and concussion levels are actually very low. Mm-hmm. We've certainly had a couple.
Yep.
And, you know, a couple that were not as that were kind of scary, to be honest. And mm-hmm. it happens. It's sports or sports. There is always danger. But I think that the fact that you get to do a lot of the things in Ultimate that you would get to do as a wide receiver in football, without, you know, the potential brain damage is kind of a, kind of a positive to parents. Because I think about it from a parent's perspective, you know.
Yeah.
My son is only three, but I can tell already that I have somehow bred a tiny jock.
Yeah.
Like, this kid is just sports all day long. And, you know, he has a great flick, and I would like him to keep developing that because I find this game fun to watch. You know, and you're going to find this out. You have young children. As a parent, like, children, kids, I'm an older brother. I have my youngest brother's 17 years younger than me. And I watched him play sports at young ages, and it's terrible.
Yeah.
You want something that's fun and enjoyable to watch, and Ultimate kind of works out that way.
I have a similar experience with my sister, who's 13 years younger, and like watching her grow up and play soccer, and a lot of the, especially with soccer, and a lot of the baggage that comes with that sometimes when you get to the more elite levels. And like, one of the reasons why she kind of wanted to stop playing was because it was just, you know, the people weren't doing it for me anymore. The game was still kind of fun, but like, my teammates and I just like weren't getting along as well. And like, Ultimate is one of those communities that like, come on in. We'd love to have you.
Being welcoming is a big thing, right? And I love that you're doing this camp thing. And I love that, you know, these camps going on, these kind of high school programs, that at least we can feed into it in some ways by providing that kind of aspirational moment, right? Like, I could be on TV, running down a disc, catching it. That aspirational moment, I think, inspires kids to get involved. And that's what we hope, anyway. Clearly. So that actually brings me into the kind of the next thing I wanted to talk to you about. So you're doing these camp things. You're developing young players. One of the things I've heard you talk about a lot coming into this coming season is the fact that the MLU finds itself on pretty firm footing, the fact that we have, you know, we're able to look a few years in advance. You have been talking a lot about player development. You know, what's your kind of vision for taking relatively seasoned Ultimate players, or even people who've transitioned from other sports and are you know, have gotten decent over a few years? Like, what's your philosophy for taking those people and moving them not only into better players, but into this system that you're starting to create down at DC?
Yeah, so ideally, any team that you're working with, you have players that are at all different parts of their playing arc. Mm-hmm. You have some that are kind of on the way down and getting ready to retire, still kind of have the skills that they need to, but maybe aren't as fast as anymore. You have some players that are coming up that like might be younger, faster, whatever, but also, you know, like, need to develop some of those individual skills. And like, people all along those arcs, playing arcs. And so I think that one of the reasons why I signed on last year for 3 years with the current is because of the viability that was there, and knowing that like, this was a chance for me to build something that is greater than we're just playing for a championship in this 1 year. And one of the things I loved about being a high school coach was that I knew that I had those kids for 4 years. Yeah. And we really have this, you know, there's things we want to do today, mm-hmm. and there's things I know I want to do next month, and there's things I know that I hope we're going to be able to do in 2 years from now. And I think this is a really the best opportunity that I have at this level to do that and kind of build something that's greater than the sum of its parts. You know, like, you can take all the star power you want and put them on a team, but at the end of the day, you don't know what you're going to get, right?
Yeah.
And like, one of the things that I like is the control of, I get to build this and develop this. And even like, there's players like Rico, who when they first made the current was unknown.
Yeah.
You know, like, he, you know, I didn't know who he was.
And that's Del Rico Johnson. For all you're not familiar with the shorthand.
And even Alan Kolick was relatively unknown. You know, I think that there's plenty of those other players out there. We just need to find a way to go with it. And I think that I'm talented in doing that. And I think our coaching crew is talented in doing that as well.
Hey, it's funny. I've seen the work you do doing this. You made a joke earlier when we were talking before we got on here that you probably spend more time working on Ultimate than pretty much anything else.
Yeah.
And I think it's true. I remember a couple instances. One, when I got a text from somebody that told me that you were at regionals just scouting people, which I love. And then the other one was at the beginning of, I guess it was the first game of last season in Philadelphia. I was walking through the stadium and I find you up in the stands with your notebook just scouting the game because you had Boston coming down to play you guys the next
day. Without Muffin and Danny Clark, what does that offense look like?
Yeah, you know,
it was the question. And like, I wasn't willing to go into that first game not knowing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what I love about your position is it's something that we've talked about here for a long time, that I don't think the entire landscape of players is that well understood at this moment. You know, I think back to when I was playing, you know, I got to play on a pretty good team. I played on Pike for a couple of years, right? But, you know, it's expensive and it's time consuming and there's a lot of travel involved, like to Santa Cruz and to Florida and et cetera. And at the time, I could only make it 2 years in that. Doesn't mean I still wasn't a good player in 2006. I probably was. But I just didn't have the wherewithal to do it again, right? So there are players like that out there. There are players that come out of college and maybe they just don't live close enough to one of the major club teams. You know, and maybe they have, you know, the travel problems with that.
I know for some of our guys on the current, it was just cost. Like with student loans and with like, I have a job, but like I can't pay my student loans, pay for a car, pay for rent and do this other thing.
Yeah. And I think that that's kind of the opportunity we have is what, you know, not just who are these great players, because we want these great players that play on the club teams and we have great players that do that. And they're a big part of our league, huge part of our league. But also who are we missing? Like there's other people out there. You know, and yeah, as you said, I think Del Rico is a great example of that. Like, this is a kid who's really, really good who just was not on anyone's radar.
Yeah.
And he's definitely on radars now.
And I feel like I can name drop so many of those guys. We had Paul Grabowski, who got an ESPN play that played for us in the championship season.
That was the day he had a kid, right?
Yeah, it was like the day after.
Well, he didn't have the kid. His wife did. She did the hard work. Yeah. But
he, you know, like, and he was like a mixed player for a while, played for Catholic University, not like a big name Ultimate University, but still like something in the DC area that people know. And then like here he comes and he is, especially for that championship team, was kind of one of those unknown players that like had a serious impact on us being capable of being a championship team. Cody Johnston's another one of those. Eddie Peters up from Pittsburgh. There's like some of these guys that you or players that you just like, you know what? They were really, really good for us. And like they're maybe don't have the star power, they don't have the name recognition, but like what they do on the field is so important.
Yeah, I think, and I think that you guys have started doing a good job of identifying those people. I'm really interested to see what you guys do this year. I think that you have a lot of opportunities to find these new players and to start to grow them up. And you've had some experienced guys signing back on. We haven't made any announcements yet, so we probably don't want to tip our hats here at the moment. But having those, that's the best thing I like what you said, the intersection of playing arcs.
Yeah,
the people just getting going in their career. The people who are maybe at the back end of it but have so much experience and mixing that throughout your system is going to make a big difference, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not new. Like this, it's not like this isn't theory. Seattle and Boston both did this last year.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the season last year, everyone's like, look at all the people they lost. And like those are the two teams that are in the championship game because they found a way to do it.
Absolutely. Tyler up in Boston was phenomenal this year. He was really fun to watch. My question is then, you're leading me very well, by the way. I just want to tell you this. You're segueing for me, which I really appreciate. So segueing to the next thing, let's talk about the upcoming season.
Sure.
You don't know exactly what your team's going to look like yet. Tryouts are coming up. You're signing players now. You know what your coaching staff looks like, which is nice. Yeah. You guys actually have a great operational staff down there too with Matt Dewhurst. He just brought on Ryan.
I forget her last name
at the moment. It's a shame, but great people coming in and into that program, and you guys are going to be really solid back at Catholic University.
Yeah, and you know, like our, I've been saying it from even our reffing staff down there, I think is so good. I think that, you know, like, you know, Dewey runs a tight ship down there. I think that, you know, all those volunteers he has working for him and the people like at on game day are just so good at getting stuff up and running and a great fan experience.
I can't tell you. I mean, last year was rough on you guys. You had some bad weather.
Yep.
Had some holiday challenges. I remember tough. I was down there once and we had a rain delay, which have been actually few and far between for us.
Conveniently, though, the first game that we started selling beer.
Exactly. They brought the beer thing into the high. We try to pick stadiums that have places to shelter in place. That's a big part of when we think about things. And you guys have a great one.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody came into that.
It's a lobby.
I guess it's a lobby.
Yeah.
And everybody came in the lobby, and then the beer guy came in, and he sold out a beer in like 10 minutes, but it was amazing.
Store.
Yeah, they actually did, though. Yeah. They ran back, and they reloaded for the second half.
Mm-hmm.
That was a lot of fun. And it worked out. It was a beautiful end of the game once the weather cleared out. But yeah, so you've had some of those challenges, but there's no question in my mind that one of the best shows in the league, and I've been to all of them, is what happens down in D.C., and you have a good crew there. But so taking that, you don't know exactly what the team's going to look like. You know where you're playing, you know the staff. Yeah, but given what you've seen over the past few years, like, what do you think this season is going to look like? Who's the biggest mystery? Who's the biggest you know threat, challenge? Like, what are these other teams looking like as they shape up?
We've been saying for the last since the league started that the East is going to be tight, and on any given Saturday, any outcome is possible, or on any given weekend, you can, be playing well, not playing well. One of the things that we know, especially with the schedule being released, those doubleheaders are tough.
Yeah.
Especially for us, having to drive up to Boston, sit on the bus the whole way, play, cool down, and then go back down and play again the next day is really difficult. And I think that Luke might correct me here. I think the only team to win any of those doubleheaders was in the history of the MLU was Boston in their first year, their undefeated year.
Yeah, I think that's right.
And so we know that that's tough. And especially like for our schedule, those doubleheader games are going to be hard. And it doesn't matter necessarily that we're playing Boston or New York or Philly. It's just that getting mentally prepared for that like trip is difficult.
Yeah, it's interesting. The extra doubleheaders that exist in this year's schedule came out of conversations with the player advisory committee, which is a big part of how we make decisions now, which I think is great.
Yep.
We have players involved in our decision-making process for things that affect them.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Which makes a lot of sense.
Why would you not?
Yeah.
So we have this advisory committee that, representatives from each team come and meet, and one of the things they were looking for was more of these kind of doubleheader games. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons that they gave, which I thought was actually good, is it is tough going up for you guys. You go all the way up to Boston. It's the longest trip we have on the East Coast. You go all the way up to Boston. You play a game. And then you got to go all the way back home. And then you're going to go out the next weekend or whatever. Mm-hmm. But if you can go to Boston and then after the game drive most of the way to New York, then at least you're going to be pretty fresh for the New York game, right?
As my wife would tell you, when you go out to Boston, your whole weekend is shot. Right. Yeah, even if you're playing on Saturday,
so why not
when
play
you
another
come back,
game?
So like you might as well just get the other game, and then that frees up another weekend later.
Yep, it's true. And so we have some more buys for people. We have a little more condensed schedule, and I think that's what the players look for.
Yeah.
And it works out for us too. I mean, it's challenging. I will admit, it's going to be challenging. Mm-hmm. I know Greg is sitting back there in the in the control room right now, going and shaking his head.
Yeah,
it will be.
It's hard.
It will be challenging for the production side. Yeah. It'll be challenging for the content side. But you know what? There's always a balance of that stuff.
Yep.
You know, we need to take on some bigger challenges here so that the players have a better experience there. That's something that we do. And we know that the players at times accommodate things that we need, right?
Mm-hmm.
All my apparel rules and what you can wear on the field. We need those,
and
they accommodate those. So there are good trade-offs there, I think.
And those rules, those business rules have such a significant impact on what we can and can't do as a league.
Absolutely.
And it's important.
Really. Yeah. Yeah. It's we were talking about this earlier. It's something that, again, I feel like we talk a lot. Like as a league, and we're pretty vocal, and we put out a lot of content. In fact, we got judged by I have to ask my producer. I said, Tom, who was it who wrote the article that said we put out too much content? Was it UltiWorld? It might have been UltiWorld. No. I can't remember who it was, but somebody wrote an article where they were looking at everybody's content stream, and that was the, we put out too much. So we talk a lot, but sometimes we don't say things that are really simple because we think that they're understood. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about this earlier with Canterbury.
Yeah.
You're wearing them there. We got them in the background here. It's Canterbury on his chest. They are such an incredible partner for us. They provide all of our athletes with all the gear that they need to play on the field. So, you know, all the uniforms they provide. They provide coaches' shirts. They provide, you know, base layers.
Yep.
And they provide other stuff for us. And people don't really realize that that's what's going on. And it would be difficult for us to provide that. I know that when you play on a club team or you play in some other leagues, you have to pay for that stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, we get to pass that right on through. And that allows us to spend the money we would have spent there somewhere else. You know,
I think also for the players too, when it shows up as a box of stuff that's for you, you're like, oh yes, this is for me.
Yeah.
I have earned this.
Yeah.
But then like you don't realize that like actually the people that earn this is the company, the business, the MLU went out and got this sponsorship, and they're the ones that are allowing you to wear these like uniforms, and you don't have to pay for that. And like especially the difference between club and this is that like, you know, that's $60, $80, depending on where you're getting, like, what your jerseys look like, what your hoodie looks like, or whatever it is.
Absolutely, yeah, and that stuff can definitely add up. And it's and also, yes, the company did go, we get out and get that. It's part of the way that we're built that lets us do that, which is great. But the other good thing is, and as you know, because you're about to go through this whole process of tryouts and all that stuff, is the players did earn it.
Yeah.
Like, you earned your place there, and you earned that uniform. And I like that that is a reward instead of, you know, all right, I earned my spot on this team and now I have to buy this.
Yeah.
It's you earn your spot on the team and now you get this. Because it no matter where you're trying out or what you're doing, it's not easy.
Yeah.
You know, you have the amount of hard work these guys put in. I think that's something that kind of casual observers don't understand. People who play even in the recreational level or in gym class, people who watch the league, I don't know if they get the amount of work these guys put in to be in the kind of shape they're in.
Yeah.
Because it's incredible. What do you guys do? That's an interesting question. What do you guys do for training? Like, what are your recommendations? What are your...
Well, obviously, Lizzie, our strength and conditioning coach, she would be better served to answer this question.
We'll get her up here.
But we actually just talked about this last week as we're starting to prepare our season plan. Cardio base right now is really January 1st. Guys need to start really hitting up their cardio and making sure that they have a good cardiovascular platform. And then from there on, a lot of ultimate specific movements in training, so cutting, sprints with decelerations and accelerations, and you know, lifting is important. And I think that, you know, for lift, I feel like ultimate players are hot and cold on lifting. Like sometimes they're like, oh yeah, lifting, and then other times like lifting doesn't actually help. But in the, you know, like a lot of other things, it's probably in the middle, right?
Yeah.
You don't need to be crushing the weights, right? But you need to be firm up top. Like you need to be able, so if there's contact shoulder to shoulder, that you can maintain your space. Things along those lines.
You got to be durable too.
Yeah.
I mean, I see those injury reports come through every week. You know, it's a field sport. It's pretty intensely played. There's going to be injuries, and having a little bit of extra mass can help protect you a little bit, I would imagine.
Lizzie and I talked, I think, for 20 minutes about hamstrings.
Oh, God,
right?
Hamstrings.
Because that's, for the last 3 years, that has plagued us. And like, if you, I don't know if people remember Alan's first year with us, but he was off for a third of the season with a hamstring injury.
Yeah, that is the worst injury. I mean, I remember that as a player. I mean, I was a soccer player my whole life, and we would lose people to hamstrings all the time. I was blessed with indestructible hamstrings.
Yeah,
which I don't know what happened.
Yeah,
or maybe
you and Kevin Moldenhauer.
Yeah, no hamstrings.
You know Kevin never stretches, never.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I know. He's a weird machine of a human being.
Yeah, he's...
I have a lot of fear and respect for Kevin Molnar. You heard that, Kevin. You heard that right. Came from here. All right, so last thing is, DC, are you guys going to go to the championship game this year?
Our goal is playoffs. Right,
okay.
And that's not any different than the year we won the championship is playoffs, and then we go back and work as a whole new season for that one game, and then work for a whole new season, ideally for another game. But you got to earn your quarters, right? You play the season one quarter at a time, and if you play well enough, then you get four more. And if you play enough well enough in those four, then you get another four.
There you go. I like that philosophy.
Yep.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for coming down here. I really appreciate it. It was great having you. It's good to get a little outside our own heads. I feel like I've just been going through people in the office here for a while. So, you know, we're going to try to get more people from outside this this environment in. But nice to have you. You can follow Mr. Smolinski here at Smolinski Will on Twitter. You can also, of course, follow me at Nick Darling. Ask us questions at Cleats Cufflinks or send an email to cleatsandcufflinks@mlultimate.com. Thanks again for coming. Yep. Thank you guys for listening, watching, whatever it is you did. I'm looking at the wrong camera. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks.